Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hey, good morning, Neil here. I am so excited to be sharing on the subject, Overcomers, We Are Well Able. I absolutely love this title, the thought that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, the one who rules and reigns. And I really believe with all my heart, folks, if you would just lean in over these coming weeks, that I believe that God is going to do a deep-rooted work in our heart. Pastor Daniel started last week when he asked us the question, you know, is it about the giants or is it about the grapes? Well, I'll tell you what, it's about God. That's what he taught us. And we need to change our focus and change our mindset and change our understanding. So I really believe that this series could have a major impact on our lives if we will allow God to speak to us. Overcomers, we are well able. I'm going to read a passage from Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, where he's speaking so clearly about what it means to live and work out our salvation through the power of the Spirit. Listen to what he says. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. Today I want to speak about two men, one from the Old Testament, the other from the New Testament. They both have the same name, Saul. Both of them, interestingly enough, were Benjaminites. They came from the tribe of Benjamin. But actually, they couldn't be more different in their nature. Now, I want us to consider the Old Testament Saul as a type of our old nature. And the New Testament Saul is a beautiful picture of our new nature. That's what it means to be created in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And there are some striking contrasts between the two of them. Listen to this. The Old Testament Saul, we're told that from the shoulders up, he was taller than any other Israelites. The New Testament Saul, who we know as Paul, they say it said about him that his bodily presence was weak and contemptible. The Old Testament Saul was the first king of Israel. What must it have been like to live in a palace, to be that wealthy, to have servants everywhere? Whereas the New Testament Saul, he was just an ordinary citizen. In fact, he found trouble in every city that he went. The Old Testament Saul, he was popular. They used to sing songs about him. They referred to the New Testament Saul as a madman. The Old Testament Saul, he started out with the world at his feet. The New Testament Saul, he lived his life with the world and mostly the church fighting him and against him. But you know, death is a great equalizer, and both wrote their own obituary, because listen to what the Old Testament Saul said in 1 Samuel 26, 21. He says these words, "Surely I have acted like a fool and have been terribly wrong." The New Testament Saul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says these words, "I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So my great question is this today, in regard to our salvation, our Christianity, what is obvious? Is it the old man or is it the new man? Is it business as usual or are we under new management? You see, the Bible says if we are in Christ, we are new creations. Old things pass away, all things become new. We belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And hey, we used to have an old lifestyle with behaviors and attitudes that sometimes weren't too good. And the Bible refers to that as the works of the flesh. But when you become a Christian, when you give your heart to Jesus, something changes. Number one, your destination changes. You know you're going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? But it's not only the fact that we're going to heaven, but here on earth, that Christ begins to do a work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we need the Spirit of God. We cannot do it on our own. That's why the Bible doesn't say you negotiate with the flesh. The Bible says that we've got to crucify the flesh. Why? This old man, this old nature, the old Neil Cameron, is always going to try and be at odds with the new Neil Cameron, that who is saved and sanctified through Christ Jesus. And I meet so many people nowadays, so many Christians, and it seems that our Christianity is just an add-on to our old life. No, my friend, if you're in Christ, all things become new. We have a different identity. Our behaviors, our attitudes are all things that we should be addressing. Why? Because we want to be like Jesus. Well, we need the Spirit of God for sure. I have no doubt in my mind. So let's look at these Old Testament Saul and the New Testament Saul, and let's make some comparisons. What's interesting is the Old Testament Saul, he comes into prominence when he's looking for his father's donkeys. The New Testament Saul, he comes into prominence while searching for Christians. Neither of them knew that that day they would never be the same again. But we're talking about overcomers. What makes the difference between a winner and a loser? Those that have, those that have not. Those that are more than conquerors and those that are conquered. Those who are victors and those who are victims. Because we are well able, through the power of the Spirit, to be overcomers through Christ Jesus. So a couple of comparisons I want to share with you. Number one, here's something that we need to overcome, because the Old Testament Saul, he was stubborn and self-willed. But the New Testament Saul, he was submitted to the will of God. What must it have been like to be the first king of Israel? A blank page. You get to write history for generations to come. What an opportunity the Old Testament Saul had. But there was a problem. He was stubborn. God had already come and given clear instructions through the prophet Samuel. He says, listen, we're going to deal with the Amalekites because of the way they treated my people Israel. Saul, I want you to go and I want you to defeat the Amalekites. I want you to utterly destroy them, kill everything, leave nothing alive. You must deal with them accordingly. Saul goes down to the battle. He's successful, but here's the problem. When he saw the best of the flock, when he saw the best of the garments, when he saw the best that was there with the Amalekites, listen to what the Bible says. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Listen to that. The things that were worthless, the things that were of no value, they dealt with. But there were some things that just looked so good in their eyes that they didn't want to destroy them. Even though the word of God has been very clear, utterly destroy everything. Everyone's rejoicing, but Samuel is weeping. Saul says, hey, man of God, I've done according to the word of the Lord. And just then, would you believe it? The Bible says there was the bleating of the sheep. You know, your sheep will always bleat when you don't want them to bleat. Things will always show up in your life when you don't want them to show up. Things that maybe you think no one's aware of or no one knows. And I want to encourage you as strongly as I can. Deal with that old man. Deal with that old nature. If God says deal with the issue, guess what, my friend? Deal with the issue. You see, for many of us, there are parts of our old life that we want to hold on to. We don't want to surrender them to the will of God. Oh, we like that. We enjoy doing that, even though it's not pleasing to God, or even at times contrary to the word of God. And listen, God is not satisfied with 90%. He's looking for 100% totally submitted to his will. It was Saul that said to Samuel, but we were going to offer the best of the sacrifice to the Lord. And the prophet, the man of God, says, listen, God, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. In other words, because of your disobedience, Saul, you have been rejected from serving and leading God's people. Why would he mess up like that? Because he held on to certain things that affected his destiny. Like I said, you can't do a deal with God. You're either all in or you're not. You either submit all. What's that old song we used to sing? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. My friend, what are you losing because of our stubbornness and disobedience? Are we obeying God in our home? Are we obeying God in our finances? Are you obeying God? Am I obeying God in my spiritual life? What are we holding on to this morning that we just won't let go of? I remember a number of years hearing an incredible illustration of a farmer who was looking over a field and he saw this eagle that was hovering over the field. He could see he was going for prey, and suddenly that eagle swooped down and picked up a weasel, and as it flapped its wings, it was heading high into the sky. As the farmer is watching, to his amazement, like a thunderbolt, that eagle plummeted to the ground. Amazed, confused, intrigued, he walked over to see what had happened. And listen to what he discovered. When the eagle swooped down and picked up that weasel, somehow that weasel had managed to turn around and was literally biting in to the vitals of the eagle. The eagle did not realize, but with every swoop of its wings, it was getting closer to death. My friend, what are you holding on to? I don't say this with any sense of condemnation, but maybe you're holding on to unforgiveness. Maybe you're holding on to something that happened many, many years ago. He said, she says, they did, we did. Maybe you're holding on to something that you did that you can't let go, that you won't surrender to God, that you won't allow his love and his grace and his mercy and his compassion to forgive you from. Maybe God forgives you, but you can't forgive yourself. My friend, what are you holding on to? You see, the old nature, the old Saul, was stubborn and determined and would not be totally obedient to the word of God. But what about the New Testament Saul? Well, listen to what he says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, when he has a death warrant to chase the infant church. He encounters God in a mighty, mighty way on the road to Damascus. And listen to what his words are. Lord, what do you want me to do? Isn't that beautiful? The Old Testament Saul, his stubborn and self-willed and disobedient. The New Testament Saul is saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? When you look at the life of Saul, Paul, we see that he went through many trials and challenges and situations that maybe he did not fully understand. But his natural eyes were closed, but his spiritual eyes were opened, and now he lived a life that was surrendered to the will of God. It's no wonder that in Acts chapter 26, he says these words, so then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. One was disobedient, one was obedient. My friend, will you be submitted to the will of God? Another thing I see here is the Old Testament Saul, he was just competitive. It was all about the competition, whereas the New Testament Saul, he was, how can we cooperate? How can we work together? I just recently had the joy of performing a wedding ceremony, and I came about upon this verse, and I used it that day, Romans 12, verse 10. Listen to what it says. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Isn't that beautiful? Can I read that again? Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Could you imagine how different our world would be if instead of pulling each other down, we lifted each other up? Now, once again, it's Paul that writes these words, and he is encouraging us because he tells us, listen, we're all part, if you're a Christian, we're all part of the body of Christ. Everyone has a function. Everyone has a part to play. The Bible says that God put each member in the body as he saw fit. We're all different. We have different gifts, and we have different talents, and we have different abilities, but every single one of us are necessary. But the challenge is that we even see this sometimes in church life, that we can sometimes be a little bit jealous, that we think we have to compete with one another, that we don't cooperate or function or flow as the body of Christ should do. Paul says, rejoice with those that rejoice, mourn with those that mourn. Hey, what would church be like? What would our world be like if we were making sure that every one of us were creating an environment and an atmosphere for the other person to flourish and succeed? That we were all cheerleaders, cheering each other on. That we're saying, come on, we're in this together. Listen, that's an overcomer when you can overcome your will and overcome that people see you, when you're prepared to let other people be seen, and you're saying yes because of their success. That we make room for others to flourish. That we have an atmosphere and an environment where others can shine. I tell you, how different would church be? How different would your world be? How different would your home be? And I want to encourage you this morning. Let's honor one another. Listen, your success does not diminish anything that I'm doing for God, because we're part of the same team. I want you to succeed. I want you to be blessed. I want the favor of God to rest upon your life. I want you to be blessed when you come in, as the Bible says, and blessed when you go out. I want people to look at you and say, there's something special about that person. And when we do that, that there's no sense of, oh God, what about me? You see, the Old Testament Saul, he was fine until he heard the ladies singing after the battle. You all know this so well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the woman came out from the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs, with timbrels, and with lyre. Oh no, they began to sing as they danced. Saul has slain his thousands. Oh, Saul liked that. But then we're told they added a new line. But David, his tens of thousands. The Bible says Saul was, listen to this, very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. What happened? Saul was quite content when the women were singing about him. But he did not like the fact that they ascribed something even greater to David. Maybe, my friend, you don't realize it, but maybe we're getting caught up in this whole thing of competition. And that's something that we need to overcome in the body of Christ. I am cheering on every fellow believer. You see every local church? You see all my friends? I am cheering them on. I am not jealous of their success. I am blessed because they're blessed. Listen to what Song of Solomon says. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. My friend, more homes have been wrecked, families fragmented, and lives ruined because of jealousy. In Luke chapter 15, it's the elder brother, not the prodigal son, the elder brother. Do you realize that when the party was going on, when the young boy had come back home, and when dad was all excited and killed the fatted calf, do you know that the only person in that story that brought up the behavior of the prodigal son was the elder brother? It was, you know what? It was him who stood outside. He wouldn't even go inside to the party. He compared, he says, Father, you're giving him more than me. He criticized. He says he doesn't deserve it because of his behavior. And he condemned the father for giving so much. Instead of being excited that his young brother was home, he was mad and he was angry. I wonder, my friend, how excited do we get when someone comes to Christ? And even though they may have lived a horrendous life, You know, the grace and mercy of God is for every single one of us. I used to play the bass, some of you know that, and because of that, my ear is very attuned to the different musical instruments that we have, you know, in a church worship team. And can you believe it? You know, when I'm listening to the bass, I can hear the different notes. I hear the bass player go on a run. But I have never once, and it's very rare this happens, but if someone was to hit a wrong note, I don't look around the hall as if to say, hey, did anyone else hear that? They got it wrong. No, why would I want to point out a mistake? I am cheering them on, especially the younger ones, as they're coming forward. You can tell a lot about an individual, about what they applaud and what they don't applaud. We are fellow workers in the kingdom of God. We read in the scripture, Paul plants and other waters, but it's God that gives the increase. And you can know how mature you are when you see someone else using a dimension of power, blessing, and acceptance in the things of God. Can I encourage you? Let's rejoice over them. And here's the last thing I wanted to share with you. The Old Testament Saul, the old man, he was proud. The New Testament Saul, he was humble. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. But Saul, you allowed your position to affect your attitude. Hey, you, when you first came into this thing of kingship, hey, you responded to the word of God. But the longer you functioned, the more you thought that you would do it your way. You changed. I'll never forget a number of years ago, I was at a big Christian event, and I happened to be going in the door just as the main preacher was coming out, so I literally held the door open for him. To my amazement, there was no eye contact. There was no thank you. There was no really appreciate that. Literally just walked past as if someone holding the door open for him was nothing. And God challenged me that day and says, Neil, never have an attitude like that. Whatever platform you're on, whatever opportunities you have, keep humble before me. Keep humble before God. Recognize that it is the gift of God that he has given. And yet look at the Apostle Paul, how different he is. He refers to himself as the chief of sinners. He tells us that God uses the foolish things and the base things and the common things. He tells us that he's the least deserving, yet God used him. But he also tells us something incredible. He says, you know what? He says, God has exalted me to an incredible position. He says, I literally went into a third heaven. I heard things that you can't even utter or share. But listen to what he says. He says that I became above myself in attitude or thought. I had this wonderful revelations. But listen to what he says. But I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. My friend, I don't know what that thorn in the flesh was for the Apostle Paul. I've read a lot of books. I've heard a lot of people discuss it. I don't know what it was, but I know why he was given a thorn in the flesh. He says, I've seen incredible things. I've heard incredible things, revelations from God. But lest I be exalted above measure, unless I allow my fleshly nature to become prideful, you know what God gave him? A thorn in the flesh. Something to keep him humble. My friend, can we deal with the old nature? God blesses us. God begins to use us in incredible ways. God begins to position us. And God begins to help us to do great things for his kingdom. My friend, let's keep humble before him. Yes, we can overcome pride. Yes, we can overcome a stubborn heart. And yes, we can overcome a competitive nature. Why? Because we are well able to be overcomers. I wonder, my friend, do you know Jesus? I have just referred to the fact that we are overcomers. The truth is, it is only because of what Christ has done. The Bible says he conquered death, hell, and the grave. God the Father sent Jesus Christ the Son here on earth that we could have a relationship with him. I would love to pray with you if you do not know him, if you do not have a relationship with him. Pray with me right now to ask Christ to come into your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I recognize you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord. I make you my Master. I want to give all of my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, my friend, why don't you let us know in the chat? We would love to connect with you and help you as you begin this journey of what it means to be a New Testament Saul or Paul. What it means to go from the old nature to the new nature, someone that is crafted in the image of God. Well, I have so enjoyed preaching for you this morning. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Look forward to seeing you in the coming weeks. Remember this, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. Let's deal with the old man, that old nature, and let's develop into that new man, that new creation.